Good morning. Let's read the scripture together. Turn to Psalms 33, beginning with verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. And now, Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd add to the reading, your blessing to the reading of your word, because we do ask these things in Christ's name for his sake. Amen.
Well, let's start with prayer. Father, we pause now to study your word. We thank you for the privilege that we have to do that. We thank you for the assembly here where we can come to fellowship freely and study your word rightly divided. We thank you for all that you continue to do in each one of our lives individually. We also thank you for your work as you continue to accomplish it throughout the earth. And we just pray that each one of us would want to be energized, that we might have a desire to partake in our calling, which is what you've put before us, that we might make all men see what is the fellowship of the completeness we have in Christ. And we thank you for that. We thank you for all that you continue to do. For it's in Christ and we pray and for his sake. Amen. Well, yes, had a birthday this week. They keep coming. I guess praise God for that, right? But every year, you know, it's like this year was 38. 38 to me was a big blasé. What's 38, you know? And I thought, well, it would be nice if I had that waist size. 38 would be good, you know? Maybe it's a goal by the time I reach 40, I'd have that waist size, you know? So I got a goal there. I can incorporate that. Had lunch with Derek and Chris this week. And we, as we do, we celebrate our birthdays, and we were just kind of talking about, oh, we were talking about the stock market, and we were talking about, you know, the spiritual condition of the nation. And it just came down to where we were, you know, comparing notes on certain people who used to be in power and certain folks, and we just, you know, it just got them out to, you know, there's just no hope. There is just no hope. But yet we looked at each other and said, you know what, there is hope. And that hope's in Christ Jesus. So as I prepared, and as Derek said, well, they were going to be out of town this weekend, as I prepared for today, I thought, well, what could I teach on it? And, you know, as I pondered this age of 38, and I was talking to Chris, and I said, you know, Chris, I feel like I'm stuck at around 22, 23. Mentally, I feel like I'm there. But it's hit me that my body's 38. Because we were at dinner Thursday night with Kathy's dad. He took us out to dinner for my birthday. As you can see, my birthday just keeps on going. And that, I like that. That's been fun. Birthday week. I think we should all have birthday weeks. And she asked him a specific question. And the question was, well, Dad, what were you doing at 38? And she says, well, I was 18. And I thought back, well, I was 18. You know, I was 17, 18. And I remember thinking how old he was when I was 18. He was so old. And here I am. Well, as we get older, the body fails us. And that utter frustration, I remember visiting my grandmother in the nursing home. And I think her mind was still sharp. I think, you know, she was 90 plus years old. And I had to be frustrating. And she had to have despair. She had to often be frustrated because she couldn't do the things physically, couldn't even get out of bed. And that feeling of having no hope at that time has to be just so prevalent. But yet we have to stop and say, we do have hope, and that hope's in Christ Jesus. And I thought hope could, we could make it stand for something, an acronym. And I came up with this. I thought, well, the H in hope can be we've got to hear. One, we've got to hear God's word. The O is we have to order our steps correctly. The P could stand for pray always. And the E could be evangelize those around you. So let's think about this. Let's think about the word hope, and let's go through these thoughts as we hear some scripture on the matter. First of all, go to Psalms chapter 33. Psalms 33. You know, David, as he thought so many times, as he put his thoughts down, the Lord's thoughts really, but as he rejoiced in the Lord, in chapter 33, we see in verse 18, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in heaven. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our hearts shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Thee." How many times have we said something, "Hope so"? You know, whether it's a football game, "Hope my team wins, hope so." I fly a lot. I fly in my business, and every time I get on a plane, I hope that plane makes it there and back. Last night, we had a terrible tragedy in this state. 10 people associated with the Oklahoma State program died in a plane crash, of which one was Bill Teagan's sports anchor, and I happened to watch. He was the one that I watched. I felt like I knew the guy. He had, you know, covered the Orange Bowl so prevalently. I have just lots of tape I recorded of, you know, him doing the Orange Bowl blitz. And he got on that plane just like 9 others. And I'm sure he hoped, you know, what he was doing, getting ready for the next broadcast. Little did they know that that was going to be the last trip of their lives. You know, I live in a world of automation. I live where I have a Palm Pilot. I'm able to punch up my schedule and tell you where I'm going to be next day, next week, next month. I've even got dates in here next year that I can pull up, like my anniversary, so I don't forget it, right? I'm in so much control. I'm able to go from computer to computer, plug it in, and now my computer knows my schedule. If my computer updates my schedule, I plug in and it tells me what I'm now doing. I'm in such control, but I'm in absolutely zero control. I could rip the battery out of this thing and my schedule's completely gone. Okay? That's such an example of how we think we're in control as we walk day to day. You know, how we live our lives. Do we hope in Thee, as Scripture here says in verse 22, "Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Thee"? What do we hope in? You know, well, Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Well, if faith is the substance of things hoped for, then at least at a minimum we should hope in faith, because it's the substance. But what do we put our faith in? I had a lesson last time I spoke of it. I went to a science fiction, you know, movie, and they portrayed the religious character in the movie as someone who had given up, you know, science in favor of faith. And faith was the end result. It wasn't, you know, the path to Christ. It was just you end up, well, I got to have faith in something. Well, you know, what if I put my faith in man? There was a prominent figure, you know, that we've seen recently who leads a movement, who a lot of people put their faith in him. And what happened? Completely let him down. You can go back to other ministries where men led those and they put their faith in them and let them down. You can put your faith in me and I will let you down. Guarantee it. I let myself down daily as they say, "I will not eat that because I should not eat that because my waistline should be 40 inches. And at the end of the day, by gosh, I let myself down. Because of this flesh that we deal with, this body of death, what do we put our hope in? Do we put our hope in our strength, in our riches, in our friends, in our work? We must stop and say, what do we put our hope in? Well, go to Psalm 71. David continues. Psalms 71, verse 5. He says, "For Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth." It starts young that we put our hope in God, in Christ Jesus. We know that Timothy's grandmother brought him up in the Scriptures. We know the Scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation from the time thou hast a child. We know that if we put our trust in God, that and our hope in God, that it's completely secure. And if we don't put our hope or faith or trust in Him, it's not. Go to verse 14. It says, "But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. For I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hereto I have declared thy wondrous works." He's declaring thy wondrous works. What's he doing? He's doing the work of an evangelist. That's the E in hope. That's the action of what, you know, if faith is the substance of things hoped for, if we put our faith in Christ Jesus, then we should put our walk in Christ Jesus, and that walk is doing the work of an evangelist. And an evangelist is someone who is telling the good news, and the good news is that hope we have in Christ Jesus. So we were driving to church this morning. We were explaining to Carter, you know, the tragedy that happened amongst OSU. And we're sinners in our household. And we were explaining how, you know, tragic the plane crash, and Carter thought a minute, and he said, "So they're OSU, right?" So he says, "Well, we shouldn't care, right? See how sports has become so, you know, it's the be end all?" And then I knew, I said, "Whoa." I said, "Carter, let's think about the similarities and the differences we have with these folks. First of all, we're Americans. We're Oklahomans. They have parents. They may have children. We have all the same thing." I said, "Football, from a standpoint of sports, yeah, you want to be competitive. But in Christ, if these are Christians, this is a sad thing, and we need to pray for them. Even if they're not in Christ, pray that those around them come to know Him, and that it's far above any kind of athletics." You know, I can see that as my works, you know, so it's because we've just constantly, you know, OSU bad, oh, that's, you know, Boomer Sooner, OSU bad. And here he's thinking, you know, well then, should it matter since, yeah, he'll come to know the difference. That's my job. But the pain and the anguish, you know, where the people that know these people, where are they putting their hope? They're going to be, you know, these tested, you know, the tragedy in our lives. I've had a father pass away. That's probably the most tragic thing that's been in my life. But I know that my hope is secure, and his hope was secure. I know that he's far above just having a great time. So, chapter 78 of Psalms, verse 1. "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which have heard and known, and the fathers have told us." Fathers have told us. So there's a responsibility to pass that hope on. And we will not hide them from the children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. So that responsibility is a parent to pass that to the children, that they might set their hope in the Super Bowl. They might set their hope in the national championship. They might set their hope in a Big 12 championship. No, but they might set their hope in God and what? And not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Do what He says. Hear God's word. We saw a lot of things in this passage. We saw that we're encouraged to pass the hope to the children, that the fathers and parents supposed that down. The prayer here is in verse 8, that they might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and what, rebellious generation, a generation that sets not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. There's an example right there. You don't pass it on, and what happens? The generation that comes up sets their hope not in God but in other things, whether it's technology, sports, name it. Just go down the list. Well, we know then if the H in hope is here, God's Word, What does Romans 10:17 say? Well, faith cometh by what? And hearing the Word of God. So Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. We know that in the substance that we should pursue is in the Scripture. And God said Himself, I am the Word. Christ is the Word. See, it's all about Christ. It all goes back to Him. Deuteronomy, let's go back there. Go to chapter 1, and we'll go to verse 16. Now, here we have the tribes of Israel. They're giving, in their administration, they're getting ready to go into their land of Jordan. They've been in Egypt. They've been out of Egypt. Moses got to take them out of Egypt. They've been in the desert, and now they're getting some instructions here. Now, let's see what we're going to pick up. So we've got Deuteronomy 1, verse 16. And I charge your judges at that time, saying, hear the causes between your brethren. And he's giving them charges and how to hold themselves. Jump down to verse 21. Behold, the Lord God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it as the Lord thy God, their fathers, said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. So here we're getting the admonition to go up into the land. Go down to verse 34. I'm sorry, back up to verse 30. It says, when you go into the land, the Lord your God, which goes before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness, where thou set how the Lord thy God bear thee, as a man that doth bear his son, and all the way he went, until you came unto this place. Yet in this thing you do not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search out a place to pitch your tents. And the Lord heard the voice of the words, and was angry, and swore, surely there was not one of these men of the evil generation that said, that see that good land, and I will swear unto your fathers. So the story goes that as they went to possess the land, they all said, we can't possess it. There are giants in the land, save Joshua and Caleb. Verse 36 there, save Caleb. And then verse 38, but Joshua the son of Nun. They set their hope in their own strength. Okay, they didn't set their hope in the Lord. They said, you know, we can't go in and we can't take them on because we just can't handle what's there. And the Lord was angry with them, and that whole evil generation passed away. And the next generation that was brought up was given the warning, as we saw, to tell to the children, you know, as you go in, you better put your hope in the Lord. Let's go to Psalms 119, back to Psalms. Psalms 119, 111. Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Now there's a couple of things in that passage. One is, we've seen that admonition before, I hope in what? Thy word. Well, Christ Jesus is the word. But the part I saw in 116, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. We've seen a lot of examples of that in Scripture, but it's happened in my life where I've held back. I haven't caused a ruckus. I just said, I'll just kind of let this pass over. I won't stand up and make a point that that's wrong. Well, that show glorifies evil, you know. So many opportunities have passed. And I'm 38 years old. I'm starting to think back, you know, what could I have done? But you know what? I'm going to put my hope in the Word, and I'm going to put my hope in Christ Jesus. You know, that substance, I'm going to move forward, and today's a new day. And if I put the trust in the Word and have His Word hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee, I'll be able to stand in every situation and give the Scripture, rightly divided, and to share that with others so that they know that I stand for Christ and that I'm not ashamed. Go to 130th chapter of Psalms, verse 5, another one again. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in His Word do I hope. So see, the H then in hope is hear God's word. All right, now let's go to O in hope, the order. We're to order our steps correctly. How's that? Well, back in Psalms 119, in verse 133, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Aha, order my steps in thy word. Colossians chapter 2. Let's go there. We think about order, and one of the blessings I think of where we send Carter to school, Christian Heritage Academy, is the order that they put forth in their daily administration, you know. God, family, country. I mean, they have priorities set. Where they get first thing at school, what do you do first thing when you get to school, Carter? Do you have Bible time? You do, don't you? Patriotism. Boy, there's just what a blessing that place is to, you know, have the patriotism that we have there. And then the family and the reinforcement of the family and the responsibilities that we have there. And through all things, reinforcing all the proper order. Colossians 2, verse 5 says, Paul here saying that, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, so the Lord, so walk ye in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith and having been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Boy, this passage goes on, but the orderliness that's part of a walk in Christ Jesus is quite apparent. Not chaotic, very orderly. And that orderly is putting priorities first, and that's Christ Jesus first, putting God first. And that's, I think, for all of us, that's daily, right? Getting into the Bible, reading daily, prayer. Praying daily, praying with others. And that's the P in hope, prayer. Ephesians 6:18, let's go there. And you know, there are a lot of verses that cover on these topics. I've just pulled some out to collect these thoughts. Ephesians 6:18 says, we're to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying always. Well, that's on every occasion. Praying, that's at dinner, lunch, breakfast. Well, that's a given. That's easy. We just kind of almost go through those motions, you know. That's praying over tragedies like what we saw with this team in Oklahoma State. And that's praying for the good things. That's praying on every occasion. We're to pray. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And that peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Prayer is such an important part. We take it for granted that we should always pray on every occasion. And the last piece in this acronym is E, and I put it as evangelize. And I put that because we're to be an evangelist. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, it's not to be a secret. I've often heard the description, you know, if someone were to put you on trial as a Christian, do they have enough evidence to convict you? We're not to hold this truth a secret. We're to tell others. We're to be excited. We're to stand. We're to show that our hope in Christ is a glorious hope, a blessing that it is. Philippians, I'm sorry, 2nd, where am I? I'm in 2 Timothy 4, 5. 2 Timothy 4, 5 says, but watch thou in all things, endure the afflictions, do the work of what? An evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. An evangelist is someone who proclaims the gospel. What's the gospel? The word gospel means good news. There is good news. There's so much good news, for by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves, not of works. It's the gift of God. That's the good news that we're to be an evangelist and hear to make full proof of thy ministry. 1 Timothy 4, verse 11. These things command and teach, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which is given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all, and take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue them, for in doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. Them that hear thee. Well, see, you got to tell, you know, them that hear thee. You can't keep that in. You have to tell people about it. Well, you know, the wicked hope too, but their hope is in vain. Proverbs 10:28. You don't have to go there. Let me read that to you real quick. Proverbs 10:28 says, "The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish." See, the hope of the wicked shall perish. Whatever they hope in, riches, all these things will absolutely perish. The hypocrite's hope too. Job chapter 8. Let me go there for you. Job chapter 8, verse 13. "So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish. Whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be as the spider's web? He shall lean upon his house, but it shall not stand. He shall hold it fast, but it shall not endure." You know, that kind of hope. There are those with no hope, particularly those who die and have never come to a saving knowledge of Christ Jesus. That was another part of Derek's, when we had lunch, Derek's conversation. We were talking about about hope, and you know, he always had a prayer for his brother. And he said, "There's no hope for my brother because he died without Christ." That's why Isaiah 38:18 talks about that. It says here, "For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee, they that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth." There's no hope for them. They can't hope. But while we're living, while we have our faculties about us, we're able to be an evangelist and share our hope with others. Go to Romans chapter 5, starting verse 1. Now, if we said that faith is the substance of things hoped for, Hebrews 11:1, here we have verse 1 of chapter 5 of Romans. It says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace through God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Here you have faith and hope together. Well, they're pretty good cousins. "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." This is in verse 6. This is one of my favorite passages. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." See, there's so much to hope for there. "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ," that hope, "by whom we have now received the atonement." You know, God reconciled the world through his Son, Christ Jesus. Now we have to be reconciled unto him. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. "And you who were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Where? In the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. See, Paul was not ashamed. Here we have the hope of the gospel which you have heard and preached. And he says, I rejoice in his sufferings for you and Philip, which is behind the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sakes, which is the church. See, that hope of the gospel, the hope of that good news that we have in Christ Jesus. I pray for the families. I know I heard one of the 10 had a 2-month-old daughter. I didn't know this Nate Fleming here, who was from Edmond, but he was a freshman. His parents just have to be devastated right now. But through tragedies such as this, the Lord can get them through it. If they have their hope grounded in Him, He'll get them through it. And I pray that each one of us, if we ever have those kind of tragedies, that we would be strengthened in the hope in Christ Jesus and in the Word, that we would hear God's Word, that we would have our steps ordered, that we would use prayer to strengthen us in fellowship with Him, and that we would not be ashamed but evangelize and tell those of the good news that we have in Christ Jesus. So let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank You for the time that we've set aside here to really go through Your Scriptures, and we've just barely touched on so many thoughts here, Lord. Probably did it inadequately, but we just thank You for Your Word and its completeness, its exactness, and its testimony of Christ Jesus and the hope that we have in Him. We pray that each one of us would hear Your Word and have it hidden in our heart. We know that it comes from reading and studying and fellowshipping around Scripture. We pray that we would order our steps, that we would put God first and Christ Jesus number one in our heart, and that everything else would fall in order by the wayside behind Him, Lord. We pray that we would be energized daily to have fellowship and prayer with You, that we would be energized to do that and not be distracted from the things in this world as they grab our attention and keep us from that fellowship. We pray that we would be encouraged to do that daily. We pray that we would not be ashamed and be strengthened and be in a due to work of an evangelist, that we would tell those the good news of Christ Jesus, the good news of our calling, the good news that we are complete in Him. We thank You again for the Scriptures, for this assembly, and all that You continue to accomplish for us in Christ, and we pray for His sake. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.